Hi, this is Drew Shalka from FKB, and you are listening to the Music's Journey Show with my friend, Kim Sear. You're like a beautiful.
Just heard a snippet of the new single Beautiful Fantasy by alt rock band FKB here on Music's Journey. The explosive high energy rock band is one band that is doing it all. FKB is a high energy four-piece alternative rock band that are definitely not showing any signs of slowing down. The band came onto the music scene and boy, they are loved for their wild and nostalgic stage shows. Their 2017 single Bright Lights was nominated for Adult Alternative Recording of the Year at the Edmonton Music Awards, and in 2018, Casual Love attracted international attention with press coverage around the globe. With their electric shows that pay tribute to Elvis Presley, the Beatles, and the Beach Boys, they are attracting fans worldwide. Here to talk about their brand new single, lead vocalist Drew is here. We also have the lead guitar player, Travis, and drummer, Derek. Hello there.
Hi, Kim. It's Drew, Travis, and Derek from FKB.
Great to have you guys on the show finally.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this one. You got a great song out there, and we're going to get to that. We've played it at the top, and we're going to be playing it again. So let's start with you, Drew. Tell us about your influences going into the impact of what you wanted to release for music.
Well, early influences would have been a lot of the classic rock, like the Beatles and Beach Boys, and that was kind of my initial musical influences and kind of why I wanted to get into that indie rock kind of style of performing. And more lately, there's been a lot of just such great Indian alternative artists like Foster the People and even some from a few years ago, like Empire of the Sun and Passion Pit. There's been so many, there's just such ethereal, exciting music. There's just such a feeling in it.
I can see that and feel that with you guys because your music is just like, I just want to get inside your head. And just see when you're thinking of the lyrics for you guys and just what you guys do with your artistry and the end product, just your production of the whole thing too. It's really cool to hear.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, a lot of kudos goes to Dan Davidson and Clayton Bellamy on a lot of the lyrics and production as well. Like they were a huge part of this and they really helped us craft this feeling and get it to where it needed to go.
Mm-hmm. I know that they have worked with so many, and I've had so many artists on the show, you know, that they have really worked with and really been able to help develop a sound that's very unique to each of the bands and the artists. And they have done a phenomenal job with you guys, an amazing job. And it's just nice to see you guys being able to hit both sides of the border and see the fans just gravitating to everything you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very exciting seeing people's responses to it. It's always great when it does resonate and you start seeing it on people's playlists and people listening on repeat.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you, Travis? What have your influences been?
I have a lot of the same as Drew, a lot of the early classic rock stuff like AC/DC, Kiss, that kind of stuff. Mm. And then as I got older, I got more into the heavier stuff like 80s metal, Metallica and Iron Maiden and that kind of stuff. So I find you don't really hear that influence as much in our recorded works, but I find live we all bring our different influences together really good, and that energy of that hard rock kind of gets into our shows a lot.
I'd say you guys do a killer show, really killer show. And to be able to watch that, I can't wait to see you guys live again. It's been a while since I've seen you guys. I think it was Canadian Music Week was the last time I seen you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the last time we were out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yep, just about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, 2019, wow. Right?
Yeah,
because you guys had a killer year that year, and you had so much going on, and we're going to get into some of that. Since you guys formed, talk to us about how you guys met, and I think this was, what, a high school endeavor, Drew?
Yes, we met, actually, myself and Derek, we met at the end of middle school, going into high school, and we'd started the band kind of over a mutual bond of the Beatles and the classic rock. And we just started playing. We learned a huge set list of 50s and 60s material. And we just started playing everywhere we could, chili cook-offs, car shows, corporate parties, anywhere, because we couldn't play bars yet, so we had to get a little inventive with playing as many shows as we could in our hometown.
Now you're kind of limited. Your voice kind of goes to anything. You've got an incredible voice. Really good voice. Yeah, I love that grit. It's just something that, you know, is always something that I gravitate to. But, you know, you got the killer range, like the power as well. And, you know, you just got that artistry in your voice that you can just feel what you're trying to say, which is really cool.
Oh, thank you. That's great to hear. I always try and work at it and make sure it's, you know, kind of gritty, but also has the right melody and is melodic as well. So That's great to hear.
When you guys are visualizing and when you're looking at the process of what you guys do when it comes to the writing and all the different influences in the band, because there's four of you, talk to me about that and what that's like, Drew.
Well, with the writing, the approach always is changing. Like it's gone from everywhere with some of our early music to just all of us in the room jamming and trying to figure it out as we go to... more recently, there's been a lot of creating a track initially and then kind of developing the lyrics based on the way the music feels. Mm-hmm. And especially lately, with kind of the modern music production technology, it's been really exciting to be able to dig into how the end product is going to sound before you're even writing lyrics or melodies to it. It can be really exciting to explore that way. But then it can also be just an acoustic guitar and somewhat alone and, you know, then it gets developed as it goes. But by the end of it, there's always just a lot of effort and time put into everything.
There's so much that's available right now. I was going to talk about this a little bit later, but there's so much available right now. And I know that Spencer Cheen, they just uploaded in their company right now. It's just all these different sounds that are available. And it doesn't matter what kind of genre. And they have just spent, I think it's over 400,000 instrumental sounds. It's like so cool. And I know that everybody's had to do that, you know, when it comes to the pandemic and everything that has hit, because you guys were on tour, you guys were doing an amazing job in being able to play both Canada and the US. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hits. You don't have that live feel anymore. You don't have that connection, seeing the faces and being able to see, you know, the energy and being able to read the audience. A lot different. And I know that's affected a lot of people when it comes to their writing too. So talk about that.
Well, I guess the biggest thing, like you were saying, you can't feel how it impacts the audience. And I think the biggest part of that is just you have to feel more how it affects you and really try and get into the headspace of, well, how am I emotionally reacting to this? Does this make me want to jump out of the chair? And that's really what it comes down to. Instead of playing for an audience and trying to watch their reaction, it's sitting there and really looking inward and thinking, well, does this make me want to dance, like sitting in place writing this song? And that's kind of been the approach through the pandemic.
So kind of doing the reverse and you guys being the audience and how you would see your performance.
That's exactly how I would put it.
Because like in the wake of this, you know, pandemic and COVID and everything, it has been very difficult and everybody's had to navigate around that. You guys have done a great job. What was the biggest hurdle for you, Travis, you know, when it come to you guys, you know, coming off the road, doing so well? You were headlining, not headlining, but you were opening for an awful lot of really big artists out there. Some of Canada's best. And, you know, like there's just Mother, Trues. There's so many I can think of that you were opening for. And then all of a sudden you're coming to that complete halt. What was the biggest hurdle, you know, for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, probably one of the biggest things is because, like you just said, we're on so much of a roll and just having so much fun with all the live shows. And then just to have that kind of stripped away right when we had all this momentum going and trying to deal with that mentally was very tough for me, at least. Mm-hmm. And just finding other ways to work on your music and your instruments and stuff without that live performance aspect and having the crowd there and having their reactions in person, it was a lot different than I used to.
was the rest of the band, like, do you all write or is it just, you know, a few?
It's primarily Drew. Mm-hmm. We all kind of write stuff on our own. Drew's Drew's really the one that he'll like write a song a day or something and write with all these outside writers. And so he's where most of our finished music ends up coming from him in the end.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I know that it just takes time too, because like as you evolve, you know, you start to grow as a musician and an artist. And it just happens to be, you know, everybody ends up diving into that writing pool and trying to become that songwriter, because those feelings you start developing, you know, with time and everything that you've seen on the road and just life experiences. It just becomes like a natural thing, doesn't it, Travis?
Yeah, definitely. Just sitting around, and even if you're just playing, noodling on your instrument, like you're going to come up with something new, and that creative spark's going to happen where you want to try to turn it into something. Mm-hmm. Just kind of natural when you're playing.
With you, Drew, does it come from a title that you go with first, or, you know, a chorus or instrumental? Like, what is it for you that starts the ball rolling?
I would say probably 80% of the time it's something musical. Like, usually I'll just pick up a guitar and like search around for ideas and get something musical going. A lot of times it just starts with a melody. I do start with titles occasionally too. And actually, I think Beautiful Fantasy was one of those songs that it was a title independently, and then it was an instrumental, and then the two came together and became a finished song.
Mm-hmm. Because you guys have a very, as I said in the beginning, you have a very unique perspective when it comes to the way that you guys perform, as well as what your lyrics are. But you've also had a very unique perspective when it comes to being able to connect with the fans during this time too. So take us through what you guys came up with, Drew.
Well, for connecting with fans, like for the most part, are you talking specifically to COVID or?
Yeah, to COVID, you know, because it's been such a tough one, right?
Yeah, well, and I mean, for the most part, we didn't want to just do and like try and take our show and do that on a live stream. Like, we felt it was a different animal trying to communicate with people on social media. So we did take quite a bit of a step back from it. Like, we didn't want to be just putting out videos of us trying to do the in-person show, because it is different. So we did try to just kind of keep it moving through our visuals and our photos from that we kind of staged to reinforce the sound of the music. Mm-hmm. And so we did make the music video with Beautiful Fantasy and try and do something different with that, where we had a sunny, bright visual for it to make people feel good.
And it definitely does that. And it was just so fun to watch and just to see what you guys came up with, just to see from the song perspective, and then to see what you guys ended up with the video was really cool. Really cool. Very genius. Really great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, a lot of credit there. Once again, goes to our director, Ethan Johnson, on that. We sent him the song and he came back at us with this concept and had basically the whole way he wanted us all wearing white in these crisp paint suits, walking through this green garden. And so he had a great eye for that one.
Gosh, it's amazing how you guys think. It really is. The artistry and just that creativity is just absolutely brilliant. I never would have thought of that. You know, I was waiting to see, and I wanted to hear the song a few times, because I don't know what it is about the song, because every single time I listen to it, I hear more. And I don't know if that's what your intention was, but I hear more instrumental. I hear different things that I didn't pick up the first time. And it's just like, it makes you want to put it on repeat.
That's great to hear. That's like one of the things that I love most about music is, even when you put on an old song that you used to listen to all the time and hear something new in it, it's always cool to find those little tidbits in there that you never noticed before.
Mm-hmm. And going back to our influences, like Foster the People, I find that with their music, there's always something you can pick out of it. It's great production. I think Drew's production has gotten so much better.
Yeah, it's really
able to do that.
You guys have evolved so much, you know, since you first came on the scene. What is the biggest change that you notice, Drew?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think the biggest change, I think, is just how people are connecting with music. Like, there's always how people are finding it too. It's been so different. Like, when we first put out our first EP, iTunes was the big way to purchase music, and there's still a lot of in-person CD sales, but I think it was YouTube was primarily where we were all getting new music. And now it seems like Spotify has taken over, and that TikTok, there's so much. Yes. Actually, when we were at Canadian Music Week, I remember there was a delegate there from Japan, and he was talking about how in Japan, everybody gets all their music from TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then it was about 6 months later, I think it started showing up here, and everybody was getting all their music from TikTok.
It allows you to be creative and not just, you know, like you're playing your music on YouTube and things like that, and Spotify people can hear it, but it's just that visual creation, just seeing what fans interpret your song, you know, whether it's dance or, you know, anything that they come up with. I think that's just been, you know, the ongoing crave, you know, during this time. So it's been a lot of fun, you know, for the fans.
It's exciting too, because it's kind of democratized the visuals of it. Like, the fans can make their own things out of it, and they can be, they don't need to have a professional studio, they don't need to spend thousands of dollars to make something. They can just express themselves and show you what they think of your music and how they see it too.
Mm-hmm. And it's great for you guys, right? Because now, you know, you don't have to be in the studio necessarily, and it allows you guys to be able to discover a whole bunch of new sounds that probably we wouldn't have done if we hadn't gone through this end of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many great artists who are popping up now. Mm-hmm. Who it wouldn't have been possible, because they would have been competing with all the major labels and all the major tours, and people had to find new things at home.
Mm-hmm. It's true, and it opens up the doors where the playing field is even. You know, that independent artist has a better chance. You know, what has been possible for independent artists now in comparison to what you guys were stacked up against to be able to get even played on radio? How has that affected you guys in that struggle just to be able to get, you know, just to get that airplay?
Well, I think, like, especially with the way things have changed, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because it makes it, in one way, there's more eyes on things, and there's kind of different competition out there, and the playing field is leveled. But in another way, it also makes it more difficult, because one of the primary ways we'd always connected with people and promoted ourselves was in person and at the live shows. So there's definitely, you know, there's a win and lose in it.
And also another thing, when it is so easy for everybody to promote your music, it's tough to kind of cut through the noise too and get heard over top of everyone else. At the same time that it's easy to get everything out there, it's getting people to actually get eyes on it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Is that you, Derek?
No, that was Travis.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the behind them on stage all the time anyway, so there'll be times I come off stage and everybody will shake their hands and I'll just be standing there like, I played the drums.
but I really
appreciate the drums, so it goes both ways.
Like, yeah, but the girls love drummers really well, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
So I'm told.
Yeah.
When you guys are dealing with Spotify and all the streaming platform, again, you're looking at a much bigger pool. You know, you're in competition now with a much bigger pool. But again, like you said, it's a double-edged sword, you know, when it comes to both. But do you find that there's even more pressure, because now there's more things that you guys have to have ticked in boxes when it comes to the streaming platforms now, not Drew, just the social media?
Drew kind of mentioned this. It's just kind of like every day you kind of learn things that you have to do. You always check things off.
Yeah, like just preparing for a release, there's so many boxes you have to tick when making sure that everything's ready, and ready ahead of time too. That's, you know, you give everything a few weeks lead time where ahead of the release.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you're looking at it, any label that's even going to approach you guys, they want that turnkey. And, you know, they want 80% done, you know, before they even look at you. They want to see that you're seasoned, that you've been on the road for a long time, because that makes you hungry. And it makes you invested, and it makes you invested in your music, you know, in the creativity, the songs that you guys are releasing, how often you're releasing them, and, you know, the whole thing. You guys have to have the business hat for yourself, which in some ways is good, is really good, you know, because that way you learn the business for yourself, and you can anticipate, you know, when people are approaching, when you guys are doing well, you have more of a pulse of what's going on and what you guys want, because you've had to build one fan at a time. You've had to go out there and struggle. And, you know, independently, it's very difficult. Most bands have to work, you know, during the day. They can write at night and then try to record in there somewhere. It's just because once you guys are on the road and you're touring for a single, or you're, you know, you're doing your radio tours and then you're concentrating on performing and getting out there for shows, it's really hard, you know, to fund all that.
Yeah, it's definitely an expensive business to, to be involved in.
And that must have hit you guys too, like when you guys were doing live and you're doing all these shows and, you know, you're on that momentum and the fans are loving you on both sides and you're getting fans, you know, all over the world. And so it's just nice to see that all open up and see you guys come full circle again, because you've had a great year. Like 2019, incredible year for you guys. 2020, I know it was tough, but you still had some perks in there. And, you know, same thing with this year, being able to get out there and start playing live. You guys have done really, really well, you know, holding out through all this stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely great to finally get back to it. And the thing with 2022, even though it was a tough year to get through, the way we all spent the time, you know, individually all working on our own instruments, or Drew working on his songwriting and production. And then even once we knew that shows were coming back, we took so much time to, we like completely revamped our show from scratch, basically.
Yeah.
And added all these cool elements into it. So I think we came out of it with a much better show than we would have if we had just kept going at the pace we were going.
That, yeah. Like, kind of, you guys don't have, like, you don't have that time regularly, you know,
yeah,
to be
no,
able to
give us a good chance to get refocused on everything and just kind of work on the areas that really needed improvement that maybe we wouldn't have seen beforehand.
Who were you listening to, Travis, to help be more creative in what you wanted to do in your instrument as a lead guitar?
You know, the big thing that I really focused on in the break was just my own playing and my own technique. And I just kind of honestly like ripped apart my playing and basically learned new techniques from scratch that I knew would get me further in my playing or where I want to be.
Nice. What about you, Derek?
I got really into studio drumming and looked at studio drummers like worldwide and local, like Brennan Lyons and Greg Williams and our friend Joel from Whale and the Wolf.
Nice.
Because they're all amazing players, and now I've been able to kind of make friends with them and learn what they're doing. And so so we couldn't play live, obviously, but I tried to get some kind of familiarity in the studio and see what was going on there. And it turned out to be, like Travis said, a whole different kind of technique, a whole different set of rules.
That must have been so cool to finally get together and, you know, start sharing, you know, what you guys have been working on, you know, individually, and seeing that all come together, you know, this year.
Yeah, it definitely was. Definitely great to see that there was some kind of improvement, that this time off wasn't just wasted time or anything. It was great to see a payoff in the end.
But that's because you guys are driven. You know, some people were having such a difficult time, even, 6 months, they just couldn't feel it. They didn't want to get into it. They just didn't know how to write. You know, they just kind of lost themselves because they become like a machine, you know, and it's a certain schedule, something that methodically they had just continued to do. And, you know, didn't even think about it. And when all that's stripped away and all the noise is gone, it was really hard for them to even think. There was just no creativity. There was nothing. And it sounds like you guys were the opposite.
Well, it was hard at first to find a way, or at least I found, to really focus in on where you could spend your energy, because what you're used to spending your energy on is just gone. So it was definitely an adjustment and took some time to figure out what to do with ourselves. But
yeah,
I think once we got
all
that
of us.
Focus, we were all very good with.
Well, all of us too, because if you guys weren't out there on the road, we all had to refocus too. You know, it's different to interview somebody, you know, when you're not seeing them face to face. I'm used to being on the carpet, so it's a big difference, you know, and it's just, it's just been a whole new perspective for all of us. But yeah, I can imagine how difficult it was for you guys. I can't even, like, for me, I'm always going between, because I write all the time because I'm writing for the magazine, because I'm the editor for that. But then on this end of it, it's just looking at things in a different perspective, because I like to feel the artist. And I really enjoy getting to know each and every one of you, because it allows me to see things differently. And I learn things along the way, you know, just hearing how you guys see music and how you guys approach, you know, just just the way you're looking at everyday life, because all of this is snippets of time for you guys. And watching that progression and seeing artists evolve and change over the years, it's just a pleasure, you know, to be a part of that journey. And I've seen what you guys have been doing for quite some time. And you guys are really hitting your stride. You were before, but now I think it's even better by far. So very cool.
Thank you. That means a lot to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Thank you.
Now, Drew, you were nominated for a Juno Award for Adult Contemporary Album of the Year in 2019 as the writer for Noella Charles' album. So that was The Distant Danger, right? So talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one, it was really cool because it was, I'd met Noella at a songwriting camp in Edmonton in 2016. And right as we had finished our first U.S. tour, I just graduated university, so I wanted to get writing with other artists and kind of start just kind of working with people and getting different perspectives and just learning more about that side of things. So I reached out to Noella, and we met up right away because she was working with these two producers in Edmonton for her upcoming record. And like, there was no intention with it. There was no idea that it was going to be a Noella Charles song. It was going to be an FKB song. We just kind of got in there and we wrote something. And initially, we didn't know what to do with it. And then by that evening, she decided she wanted it on her album. And that song ended up becoming Danger. And
wow.
It was really exciting. And I was a little nervous because it was kind of one of my very first like co-writes that I'd been doing outside of FKB stuff and outside of like my usual comfortable circle of the band and like whoever's producing, like mainly with Clayton, mm-hmm. he's producing us. So it was really exciting. And then so that came out as the single Danger, and I think it was about a year since it was written to the time it came out. And then it ended up going to the CBC Music. It was in their top 20 for
top 10
3 months, top 10 for a couple weeks. And then it was wild. The next, I think it was end of January the next year, the album was nominated for a Juno. So that was really exciting, getting to go there and just meeting so many people in London that year at the Junos. And
mm-hmm.
it was just such a surreal experience. It was a very scary experience because it was kind of, you know, I took the Juno Express, the train that went from Toronto to London, and I'm sitting on it, and there's, you know, Washboard Union's walking by. Tyler Shaw's playing a show at the back of the train, and people are like, "So what artist are you with? What band are you in?" And I'm like, I was co-writing on the Charles song. I was like, it didn't really feel like I should be there, but it was really cool.
It's a unique experience, a very unique experience, and I'm sure it's going to be one that you guys are welcome to, you know, and it's just going to be more and more and more. And it's just such a fun experience to be able to meet everybody and, you know, to be able to get used to them seeing you, as well as getting to understand, you know, like the writing capability and opportunities, you know, for you. And that door is just opening because obviously you're seeing what it feels like, you know, to step outside of what your comfort zone is and write other styles of music.
Yeah, and it's so exciting because it can lead to so many cool things. And like even with meeting all those people, it's cool because you realize how small of a world it really is, especially in Canadian music. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, between the Junos and then a couple months later, Canadian Music Week, just so many familiar faces, and you start to realize that like these people are all friends and they're mm-hmm. everyone. It's like a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big celebration every time they get together.
And the press get to know you really well too, and get to, oh, these guys are back again. Like, what's new? Even if they haven't heard anything, you know, it gets you, you know, in the forefront, right? Because I used to do CMW, gosh, religiously for 15 years. And, you know, it's just such a fun experience and being able to see everybody. And I just loved seeing bands that, you know, I've watched when they were like Bruno Mars. I remember interviewing him when he first started.
Oh, cool.
And that's then, awesome. You know, to yeah. see where he is now. And it was just, it was hard for them to get anybody to go out to the show when he first came out. And it was like, you know, check this guy out. He is really good. And there was nobody else there. and I went in and it was just like, wow. You know, I knew he had something special. But until the press get there and the buzz starts going, and, you know, it's just, it's building that momentum and getting in front of, you know, just being able to promote yourself and, you know, just relying on yourself to be able to say, you know what, I believe in what we do. And you guys represent that really well. And it's a very well gelled team. I love it. You know, just listening to you guys all together. It's like really cool. Refreshing. Really refreshing.
Yeah, we're definitely lucky to have a group that works so well together. Everyone has kind of the same mindset about everything. We're on the same page for the pretty much anything that comes up. So
yeah, which is
we're
nice.
We're really lucked out with each other.
yeah, because like that's hard to come by. It's like a brotherhood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just absolutely. Like it's just a very unique friendship that only band members can share. Right? There's just so much that you guys go through in this journey that, you know, even a spouse wouldn't be able to understand, you know, as, you know, your yeah. significant other, you know, to be able to go through, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's really nice to see. Now, you guys also won the Edmonton edition of the Jim Beam National Talent Search again, and that was in 2019, which resulted in the performances for the Canadian Music Week. Now, tell us about that, Drew.
That one's really exciting too. That we'd entered it and we hadn't really heard anything, and then suddenly I think we got the email that yes, this thing is happening on, and you're part of it. And I think there were six artists that competed in Edmonton, and once again, super scary. It was kind of nerve wracking because you know we knew some of these artists and they're very great performers. We knew that going in, so we just tried to put together the most exciting show we could, and it was such an honor to win that, and we were so thankful to get to go to Canadian Music Week, and just a lot of fun, mm-hmm. just a lot of fun of an evening, and it was cool too because it was just such a big event. Like the bar was packed that night for the talent search, and even just a lot of people we met that night, it resulted in other shows, and a lot of fans came from just that night itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they know because they book that long in advance, right? And they have their set routine to, you know, which venues they're going to go to, and they're researching that months in advance. But, you know, when I remember hearing, you know, everybody talking, it's like, oh, no, this one is definitely one you want to get into too. And that's when I just absolutely loved the show. And you guys know how to connect. You know how to put on a show. And it's just that's refreshing because we kind of touched on that a little bit, Drew, when we were talking earlier, and you were saying that that's what you guys were so used to, was putting on that high energy performance, and that's how you built your fans. And it's so true because you can have a great record and you can have an amazing song and people play it and there's just so much that's coming up, and then you know what, it's gone. If you can't do a live show, that's where you truly build your fans. It's not the record, it's your performance.
Yeah, definitely. And I find that's the place where we really, really pride ourselves and really shine too, is in our live show. We put a lot of time and effort into constructing that to really connect with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's definitely nice to be able that we're finally getting back to that.
Tell us about the nomination for the Edmonton Music Awards, because that was a really special moment for the band, Derek.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how to elaborate on that much. It was just really exciting to be a part of it, and it was we'd been there, I think, the year before, a few years before. We, you know, because we're relatively new to the Edmonton scene, so it really made us feel like we were a part of the Edmonton music scene, and just so many great people involved in it. That being nominated for that was it's just a really great moment, and you know,
mm-hmm. it was exciting too because we'd. Like we'd gone as spectators the year before, and it was kind of the first year that we'd started playing in Edmonton, because we'd grown up in Bonnyville, so mm-hmm. most of our shows were out there. And then we just kind of started launching ourselves in Edmonton, and it was exciting to be nominated that next year, because that was the second year we were there, and we really got to know a lot of the organizers, and they were nice enough to have us out at their after party for the awards too. So
cool.
It was great to kind of become friends with them too, and just see. And just chatting with them and seeing the hard work they're putting in and being on that side of it, especially with the performance involved, you start to see like, okay, these, you know, there's two people who are planning this whole event. primarily.
Yeah.
And you know, they're on it all. Like they're obviously texting us very promptly, but they're also obviously doing that with everybody else involved, and there's hundreds of people involved in this event.
Now, talk about your release, Drew, the single that was, what, a year, I guess, after 2019, before you released Glow.
Oh, Backseat Daydream.
Then you released Glow as well, right?
Yeah, Glow was, I think that was January 2020.
So let's talk about that one, because that's such an amazing song, you know, that you guys had released. And I think it was a year since, I think the last release before that, it was like a year before you'd let anything out, right?
And yes.
When Glow came out, yeah.
Yeah.
So talk to us about working with Dan and working with Clayton, because both of them are amazing producers and both award winners. And like Clayton Bellamy, holy cow. Like, we've had him on the show. He's just insane. And then Dan as well. Being in his mind would be really great with you, Drew. He would be really good.
Funnily enough, we're in Clayton Bellamy's basement right now.
Well, these guys are amazing.
Glow is newer than Backseat Daydream. We wrote Backseat Daydream in December and Glow in January of 2019. It was really great working with those guys, because we'd started, myself and Clayton had started writing new song ideas at the end of 2018 for some new releases. And we started putting together these demos. And then as we kind of got towards the end of 2018, Clayton had suggested that we bring in Dan Davidson to write with as well. And at this point, we weren't even sure what the production team was going to look like. We were just writing songs at that point. And then Dan had sent some demos of some songs that he'd been writing for other artists. And he had this one, and it was kind of this pop. It was like this pop rock thing. And it sounded so, it was like a Yukon Blonde kind of sound. And it was like this disco-y kind of alt rock. And, you know, right when I heard that, I thought, no, this is exactly how FKB needs to sound. So that kind of got some gears turning. And then Backseat Daydream had come up as one of the next songs after that. So when we wrote together, that was kind of the first one we wrote. And then Glow came shortly after that in the new year. And that was, it was just one of those moments where the song itself, like once the initial idea started, it was just, I was obsessed with it. Like from that moment that initial track came to just the whole process of writing it, it just felt exciting. It felt different. It felt like it was a special song that needed to see the light of day, that we just needed. And we put months into that one. We'd met up every few weeks for, I think from January until May.
Oh, wow.
Met up, and actually the night we flew in from Canadian Music Week, we immediately went, I think we caught a 7 a.m. flight from Toronto and then went straight back to working on Glow that evening.
Yeah, it's a great song. Holy cow, I'm telling you. You know, you guys did an amazing job on that. But yeah, I can see why you guys were, you know, especially for the video end of it too, to work on it that length of time. You guys wanted that sound, that perfect look for this one. It was really cool.
Thank you. And yeah, like it was, and every time we'd meet, it leveled up. Like that was kind of the cool thing, is every time we'd get together, the song would get just so much better than we ever thought it could be. And that was the exciting part of it, was every time we would meet, there was an excitement of, well, where's it going next? Because last time we met, it went, like, I think when the saxophone solo got thrown into it, we were just like, what? Like, how? We ended up going there, because we'd never used anything like it before.
Wow. As I'm saying, it just opens up a whole new world, because you could just, that's why I said, you guys have evolved in such a dynamic way, you know, just with the releases that you've done in 2020 and this year. And it's just incredible just to see that turn. And, you know, you guys are just, you guys, I don't even know what you're going to do in 5 years, let alone next year. So, you know, it's exciting. It's really exciting. And we want to play this one right now. We are going to play the single Glow by alternative rock band FKB here on Music's Journey.
Is it for real? I'm telling everybody how you make me feel. You shake the world around. Nobody lights up like
That was the hit single Glow by alternative rock band FKB. There isn't anything this band cannot do, and it's just the beginning. So we are just going to be on this ride watching this one unfold, and you guys are so good. Really good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Now, when it comes to the video and just your thought process going in for this one, because again, so creative. Really good.
Well, with this video, we were coming out of, you know, shows were getting booked again, and we were trying to piece everything together. We knew we would put out Beautiful Fantasy in October. We'd have the date set, and we really wanted to get a lead on the video and just get it assembled, have the whole package ready to go. So we contacted our friend Ethan Johnson, who had directed our Casual Love music video, and we just loved, he just had this quirky, mm-hmm. almost Wes Anderson way of just looking at the world. He has a humorous lens to it, but not a gimmicky mm-hmm. humorous. It was just, it's just kind of an underlying comedy, everything he likes to do, and a bit of an edge to it as well. And I can't quite put my finger on what that is, but
I think all of us have been looking at that going, man, like, because we didn't know if it was your vision or, you know, this was your idea going into this. And it's just, that's why I said to you, I just want to get in the head. I just want to get in there, you know, to see definitely. Where you went from the lyrics to this. So, gosh, he's good. He's really good.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't an idea that any of us had any inclination of. Like, we went in with something. I don't even remember what our initial idea was, but it was not even remotely in that world.
Wow. And
but we just wanted to hear where his mind was at first before we started throwing out ideas. And he came to us with that, and we just thought it was such a cool different way to interpret the lyrics Beautiful Fantasy, and just a way of listening to the song and the lyrics that none of us had ever thought of before. We thought it was so cool that we just had to run with it.
It's nice to see you know, this style of music coming in with all the influences that you guys have brought back. And, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of that, you know, when it comes to the pandemic, just seeing so many different styles that have influenced over the years that haven't been heard on radio in a long time. And now, you know, they're coming back into new music, and the fans are loving it all over the world. You know, just to hear that kind that they hadn't heard before. And it's just like so, so nice to see. And you guys are just on that tip of that, right? You guys are just starting, just starting. So nice to see. Really cool. Now let's talk about your stage performances and being able to play live music, connecting with the fans again, because you've done some great shows, really good shows lately. So talk about that.
It's been so exciting just seeing how people react to it, because it had been so long of a break. And like, for example, with Beautiful Fantasy, we put it together and we didn't know how it was going to connect. And then luckily enough, we had one of our shows back, we were back at a venue we hadn't played in 2 years that we used to play all the time in Banff. And the song came out at 10 p.m. and I think we got on stage at 10 p.m. So the song and us getting on stage happened at the same time. We played Beautiful Fantasy for the first time that night. And it was really exciting to see it's connecting. These people haven't heard it yet because it has just come out. And it's exciting to see that because there's always a bit of that fear that, well, what if we were wrong? What if we guessed wrong of how we thought it would feel?
No. No, you've done well. I think you guys nailed it. I think you guys absolutely nailed it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What has the reception been for you guys when you're looking back and you're seeing the fans' response? What do you think? What does it feel like for you?
It's definitely great to feel that validation after, like Drew said, not knowing how people are going to react to it. And like Beautiful Fantasy, we had sat on that song for quite a while waiting to release it because no shows going on during the pandemic. We wanted to really wait until we could present it live too at the same time. And that was actually the first song we had put out in a while that we had never played it live before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Any songs before that, we had usually played them live at least a couple times before the release date. So it was pretty cool just to see people's reaction to hearing it for the first time on the night that it actually came out. It was a really unique experience.
The moments and things that we did add into the show, we had the time off, they all turned out really well, which is nice to see, you know, the work pay off and people like them. So
it's nice because when I think fans had a chance to listen to an awful lot more music and being able to have that time that they normally wouldn't either, you know, because we're all busy in life. And then, you know, to be able to explore. And I think that, you know, really benefited, you know, when it comes to this music, because it is so unique. And it's just, it's something like this song you can play on repeat and pick up, as I said earlier, pick up something new. And, you know, it just makes you want to listen and lean in a little bit more, you know, to it. And it's just such a fun song. And it's so infectious. It's such a great single. This is a really cool song.
Thank you. It's really great to hear, because that's something that we all love in music when we're listening, is the surprises, like going back when you hear a song that you've known for years and you change your headphones and there's a different frequency response and you hear something that was missing.
So it's not just me that's picked that up. Has anybody else told you that?
I think a few. There was definitely some comments about, and this was the work of Dan, spending his time crafting some of the effects. Someone commented about the delays.
Yes.
The way that they were timed and the way that they kind of like come in reverse and come back. So it's great to hear people picking up on it.
Yeah, because like I, as I said, I had to listen to it several times because like, what was that? Wait. And then I'm playing it back again. And it was so cool. Oh, Dan's going to, oh man, can I make Dan's head any bigger right now?
We won't show him this.
Every single time I'm talking, like I had him on the show, you know, to talk about his single that he had just a few months ago. And, you know, I'm telling you, he can write anything. They all can, you know, but Clayton has just got the pulse of so much in music today, you know, in so many different genres. And, you know, Dan is just, oh man, that he's just like hyper mode. He's going. I don't think his mind ever stops. You know, he's always got something new. Oh wait, you know, I just walked over here. Oh, I see something. I can do something with that. Yeah, he's one of those guys. He is really good, really really good. So we are gonna play this one right now. This is the new single, and it is "Beautiful Fantasy" by rock band FKB here on Music's Journey. Fantasy.
Colour rise, wanna take you.
electricity floating.
That was Beautiful Fantasy by rock band FKB, their new single that is out right now. It is available on all digital streaming platforms. You can download it, you can add it to all your playlists and request it at your local radio station. Such a great song. I love the story behind this. I just love the great feel that you have. You guys deliver the artistry and then again, the vision, you know, behind the brand new video. So well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You got such rich melodies in this one and the textures as we're talking about those different sounds. Did you think about any of that, Drew, when you were doing the co-write with Clayton and Dan?
I think a lot of it kind of comes from these subconscious places. Like a lot of the initial melodies were kind of written with a bit of that idea in mind of going for this indie, almost going for that early 2010s kind of indie music.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got together to take it further, Dan and Clayton just came in, like, so there was kind of the initial melodies, and then Dan and Clayton added some melodies, so it just kind of evolved in such a natural way too, where, like, at this point I don't even know what was in each version of the song, because it just all felt so, it all came together so perfectly.
It must be such a surprise when you guys are starting the song and then how it comes out at the end, and just seeing, like, wow, you know, there's just so much done between all of you, the instruments and everything that you guys are masters at, and just the studying that you guys have been doing, that practice, and seeing the end product and just feeling so good about this one.
Yeah. And speaking of surprises on this one, even like, even the final version, like when we sent it off for mix and we got it back, there were some surprises there, because we were fortunate enough to have a mixing engineer, Ari, who he also plays and does a lot of his own production. So he actually came back and he added some synths on it, and he actually muted a whole bunch of things too. We kind of thrown a bunch of paint at the wall, and he came in at the end and kind of just cleaned it. And it was shocking, because we'd worked on it for so long in one way, and then there was just that one final surprise at the end, but it made it so perfect that it was just amazing seeing everybody in the process add their fingerprints to it and make it special.
It must make you pretty excited for what's coming. Well, you guys already know, because a lot of people don't realize that you guys write, and when you're releasing, you guys have already worked on, like, lots that you're ready, you know, to set and release, because you spend that time playing that, and you've probably played some of the stuff that you got coming up, you know, in your live performances. Have you tested it out this year?
We have a few in the live show. There's a lot though that aren't there. Most of the things that we have on the go that are getting close to release ready, we haven't played. No one's heard them. We're keeping them secret.
Ooh, not for me. Come on. Come on. Give a girl a break. Come on. Just a little hint, little one.
We haven't totally picked. There's plenty of new things on the go. We did write a new one with Dan and Clayton that is looking promising. That one is, that was very, very fresh and new. There, we're choosing between a few right now. We're getting some things mixed in the new year.
Okay.
So we don't totally know which ones we're going with yet. There's three. We're going to go with two. We don't know which ones yet, but they're...
Do you know roughly? Do you know roughly when you guys are looking at releasing? So fans
we're hoping
have
by
an
the
idea.
Spring.
Okay.
That looks like probably a good timeline.
Nice.
For us.
Lots to look forward to in 2022. We're yeah. excited. Now, you guys have accomplished so much. We have to mention some other things that you guys have been doing. Yeah, FKB has appeared in a feature film. So let's talk about Moments in Space-Time. Talk about that.
That one was just one of those cool connections. Myself and Travis had been, we were back home in Bonnyville, and our former media arts teacher had just come back from film school in Vancouver. And he was planning this feature film, and he wanted to get John Rhys Davies from Lord of the Rings
wow.
and Indiana Jones in it. And he needed a band because it took place in our hometown. It took place in Cold Lake, Alberta. So he needed a local rock band. So he basically wrote us into the movie as ourselves. And it was really cool because he gave us dialogue. Each of us had a few lines in the movie. And we got to play one of our songs. So that was a really cool experience.
Yeah, you did My Bedroom, right, for that one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's just an honor in itself. But you know what? That's just another thing that you get to add to your resume. That's just getting bigger.
Yeah,
there
was definitely bigger. One that none of us saw coming either. Like, yeah, who absolutely. Would have thought we'd
absolutely.
Put that on our resume, you know?
Very, very cool.
Nice. Or that it would turn into anything that we like, that would be such a major selling point. Like, you know, we'd come home to do this appearance in the movie, and then it didn't really click until it came out that, whoa, like, no, this is a feature film. Like, this is something really, really interesting.
Nice. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like so many fans have been so excited about it. And it's surprising because the film is being seen in the UK. And so fans are just starting now. So you're probably going to get an awful lot more feedback with that. So
that's cool to hear.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot more exciting stuff coming for me. Now, you guys have also been backing a lot of bands right now. So three music videos that you guys have been working with. So let's talk about Lie to Me. You know, let's talk about that one. And that's featuring Clayton Bellamy, too.
Yeah, that was super exciting to get have Clayton ask us to be a part of that. You know, at first when he first brought it up to us, he just kind of phrased it as, hey, do you guys want to be in this music video I'm doing? He didn't specify that he wanted us to be his backing band. So at first, like, we're getting back into shows, we're kind of busy, we're like, yeah, like, we'd like to be a part of it, Clayton, we'll let you know closer to if we're going to be free that day. And he kind of asked us a couple times, like, hey, can you give you for sure, are you going to be a part of this? And we're like, yeah, well, we don't really know. Yes, a couple shows might come up or something, like, we'll let you know sooner, closer to. And then finally he's like, hey, I kind of need to know, are you guys going to be my band for this music video? And we're like, all of us are like, oh, well, if you want us to be your backing band, then of course it's a yes.
You could have told me that before.
We just jumped at the opportunity. Like, that's such a cool thing to be asked by someone like him, someone of his caliber. Like,
oh gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was such a fun time. It kind of felt like for me to be the starting of us getting back into the playing live in front of people, you know, there's a big crowd there for the music video. So it was, it was just a fun experience all around.
You must have loved it playing the drums, you know, on this.
Well, yeah, usually, I don't know, yeah, the way music videos work, I'm really the only one anybody can hear is just have loud speakers behind us blaring the song, and we all just, you know, play along with it, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was definitely fun.
Really, really cool. So that was Lie to Me by The Congregation featuring Clayton Bellamy. So the soundtrack to The End of the World by The Congregation and Drink Along Song by Gord Bamford. Lots going on. You guys have been doing.
Yeah, a lot of music videos in a very short time.
Yeah, it's Travis Nesbitt that was working on both of those, and he just liked working with us, so had us come back and be a part of them.
He's probably excited to see, you know, how much you guys, you know, can put together, you know, just with the talent of the four of you and just, you know, the pool, the deep pool of capability you guys have as musicians is pretty cool. And I'm sure they saw that too, and that's why you guys were on it. Well,
yeah, it was definitely
done.
Super cool to know that we must have done something right to be asked back.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't screw it up. You might have waited and made him hang on to whether or not you were going to do the video or not, but you know what? Eventually you agreed to do
it.
It
worked out in the end.
Yeah. A lot of my friends from our hometown, Bonneville, were really happy to hear I was in a Gord Bramford music video. That was like the turning point for them. They're like, holy cow, that's the coolest
thing
I've done. Thank you. It was a great experience, so he's a nice guy, so it was fun.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice, yeah, because he's very picky. And yeah, and he's been doing this a long time, so he doesn't just take anybody. So yeah, that says something. That's really cool for Clayton Bellamy, as well as, oh wow, you guys have done really well. As I said, it's been a great year for you guys. So now you guys are performing again. You've been doing a lot of shows, but you got a New Year's show coming up, so we can't forget that one. You guys are headlining the Polar Park Brewery
Polar Park Brewery in Edmonton. We're headlining for New Year's Eve. It'll be exciting because that'll be our first show of 2022 back on stage at 12:05. So we'll be kicking it off in 2022.
So you're getting all the people when they're just ready and just itching for that 12:00. So that's when the party starts, right?
Yeah. Hopefully people are willing to let us be the first live music they hear in the new year.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We're going to be watching for absolute sure. You guys are amazing, and it's been such a pleasure to be able to have you guys on the show and get to know you a little bit more. Can I ask you guys a few burning questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll help the fans to get to know you a little bit more. Okay, so Drew, the band has evolved so much since you guys started this journey. What has been the most valued advice that you've been given and your most significant moment on this journey for you personally?
The most valued advice, I would say, just has to be just doing it every day and just like writing every day and performing as much as possible. It's so simple, but it's been like honestly life changing. Like the just everyday daily progression, and we've noticed it in our live shows. Like just since we've done hundreds of shows, it's just gotten to a point where you don't notice it every day, but you look back on the last year and you notice that something's changed. And same with songwriting, like just, you know, getting these songs that you don't know how you got to them, but it was just putting the time in. And I think that's been just life-changing advice, is making it so routine and making it a daily pursuit.
It's like journaling, is being able to, you know, to connect with your feelings, which allows you to connect to words and then to lyrics and the development of the songs. If you're writing all
absolutely.
The time. Yeah, it really hones in those skills when you're dedicated and constantly writing. And then you have your team that you're really comfortable with. You know, and you know, if you've got a project you gotta bang out there, you know Dan Davidson and Clayton you're gonna be able to do. You've been also working with Bill as well for Sharp Nine Music, and just everybody on the team that you guys got around you right now. Incredible team. And that takes time to be able to get people that you can count on.
Yeah, we're definitely very fortunate in that regard to have a wonderful team around us.
Mm-hmm. Really,
yeah,
really
that's
good.
Such a big part of everything we do. Wouldn't be where we are without the support team we have behind us, for sure.
People don't realize the trackers, everything, you know, that goes behind the marketing, all of it. And it's
yeah,
just,
it all plays a big part.
Yeah, 24/7. Mm-hmm. 24/7. It's not an easy job for the trackers and all that too, right? So really cool.
No.
Okay, so Travis, is there a song that stands out to you, any genre, that made you extremely emotional and affected your life the most?
One of the biggest ones I always come back to, it's kind of a weird one, but Animals by Nickelback. That was like the song that I had kind of started getting into music, first of all, from Clayton Bellamy was actually the first person I saw live that made me want to play music. And so that Roadhammers were kind of the first band that I started listening to. But then that Nickelback song really got me into the hard rock stuff. And that's been kind of the foundation of my whole musical influence since then. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was definitely a big, big one in my life.
Big one. Big one. Okay, so what about you, Derek? Is there a song that you gravitate to or a drummer that's an icon for you that kind of changed your life?
I don't know if I put one song on it. I mean, or just say a drum, like Ringo Starr.
Okay.
A lot of the Beatles songs. yeah, that really based off a lot of, you know, my beginning roots.
And your love for drumming.
My love for it. And actually a big turning point, not a song, but a person, was my grade 7 teacher, Jody Cerner. He bought me and got it signed from Todd Zuckerman, drummer for Styx.
Nice.
He got me a CD that, you know, it's called the Method Mechanics of Learning to Play the Drums. And yeah, that really changed my drumming, made me
very
realize
cool.
what, you know, what you could do on the instrument. So
yeah, it's nice when you look back and say, okay, you know what, this is the very first one, or the first record, or first concert, or something that moved you mm-hmm. to want to go on this journey. So it's like really, really nice when you look back at it and see who really influenced you when you first heard that sound. What about you, Drew? Is there somebody that stands out, an icon, past or present, that really moved you?
There's a couple, actually. There was, I would say the original one would be Paul McCartney. Like, even when I found out that he plays so many instruments himself, like, that was mm-hmm. the reason I learned to play the piano. He's the reason I switched to bass from guitar.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was a guitar player, and then...
When we couldn't keep a bass player.
And we couldn't keep a bass player, but... Which is actually how he ended up there, too. But it was a big reason for so much of what I wanted to do musically. And then later on, when I saw Bruno Mars live, actually, mm-hmm. it really, really made me want to deliver just an incredible live show, because his show is just so well constructed, and I was just so blown away
by everything he's doing. The practice he puts in, like, he will cut a track and cut a track and cut a track, and then come back next day, it goes to the cutting room floor, starts right all over again, and it's just nonstop until it is absolutely perfect. And it could be a month, 2 months in.
Yeah, and it shows. It shows what he puts out.
Yeah. He's very, very particular, and, you know, it's something that's just that artistry that he just wants to deliver, you know, the best show he possibly can, and the same thing with his music, so it's very cool to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice, okay. Is there a New Year's Eve tradition, Drew, that stands out for you, that you really look forward to, that's something that you've done your whole life?
No, not really. Like, actually, this will be the first New Year's Eve that we've ever played a show. Typically, we're kind of all over the place with our families at that time of year. So there's nothing really that is super... There's nothing that's been very consistent year to year. It's always a little different for all of us. So it'll just be exciting to do something new and see what happens New Year's Eve.
Yeah, there's nothing like the energy of a New Year's Eve crowd. This is going to be really cool for you guys to experience. What about you, Derek? Is there a special holiday moment that's something that's a tradition in your family that you look forward to?
You know, not really. It's just a nice time to relax. A few years ago, me and my dad spent a bunch of time in Mexico, which was fantastic to be in the warmth. But it's just, you know, we spent a lot of time, a lot of weekends away. So it's really nice to just go and hang out with the parents and family.
Kick back and not have to worry about a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just really try to take those, you know, give yourself I guess Christmas on a Saturday this weekend, so at least have like a long weekend of away from it. But I mean, there'll be lots to work on. So
very cool. What about you, Travis?
Yeah, well, I guess this one won't be happening this year since we have a show going on, but usually New Year's Eve, we always have a lobster dinner at my parents'.
Oh.
That's the one New Year's tradition we always
have. That would really suck to miss, wouldn't it? But you know what? Hey, playing live is a pretty good trade-off too. But yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good trade-off. But you know what? Maybe you can do that right after New Year's and do it on a different day.
Yeah, hopefully sometime around there we'll squeeze it in still.
Nice. Okay, so favorite holiday dessert. Drew?
Oh, that's tough. I think I'll have to go with... I don't know if they're an actual thing or if they're just something that my family does, but my sister started making these pinwheel cookies. It's an old recipe of my grandma's, and I don't know if they're like an actual holiday dessert or if they're just something that my grandma made up, but they're delicious, and they're a lot like sugar cookies. I love them.
Nice. What about you, Derek? Do you have a favorite holiday dessert that you're looking forward to having?
Actually, every year my mom gets us like a pot of gold, a box of chocolates.
Oh, wow. Yep. That was always a family tradition for us.
Yeah, each one of us won, so none of us. And this year I really... I don't know, I really, really appreciated it. I never thought, you know.
Yeah, a little bit of home, right?
It was nice to have up in the city. So I already received that as an early present because we had an early Christmas with my sister. She'll be gone with Drew.
Do you have a favorite one in the box?
The caramel one was really good. And I always hated the strawberry one, but I think I've grown. I think I've grown a little bit because I tried that. I left it last. I just finished off the top shelf, so I'm going to go down the bottom shelf probably when I get back tonight.
I used to like the Black Magic because I used to like the orange, the chocolate orange one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, those were the ones that I liked. That's the only thing I liked in it, but it was just that was the one that I wanted to have. So I didn't let anybody else have it, so I took it out.
Yeah, well, my mom makes great Rice Krispie squares.
Oh, cool.
So I got to make sure.
Tradition.
She listens
that
I do like those as well, Mom.
Very good ones. Yeah. Okay. So, what about you, Travis?
Sugar cookies are always good. Yeah, that's kind of the only one that sticks out to me right now.
Okay. All right. That's
going
awesome.
Back a little bit to Thanksgiving. Pumpkin pie is.
And pumpkin pie always comes out at Christmas anyway, right? Always comes
that's
out.
Very
at Christmas.
True.
That's true. That's true. Well, congratulations, guys. You know, great job on this new single, and I cannot wait. You guys are going to keep me in touch, right, with what happens?
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to
really
get...
appreciate all the kind words. You have Drew smiling.
We're very excited that you had us on today.
Yeah. It's a pleasure. I've been waiting for this one. I know we were gearing up to it, but it's been such a busy year, and I'm glad to have you guys on at the very end here. So really, really appreciate it, and I look forward to having you back. It's been absolute pleasure. Say hi to the other band member that we didn't get on today, Alex, right? And all the best to all of you. A wonderful holiday, and I look forward to having you back in 2022.
We look forward to being back. We really appreciate you having us on here.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you guys have a great holiday, okay? Safe travels and lots of memories, okay?
Thank you. You too.
A great big thank you to my very special guests. We had such a blast today, and that is FKB for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I've got The Voice runner-up for season 17, and that's Ricky Duran that's going to be here. He is back with his new debut EP that's going to be released, and it's coming out very soon. We've got Jamie Warren, we've got Voice winner Jay Coot with his brand new single, When Christmas Has Come and Gone, featuring the tenors. And I will be playing some new Christmas singles as well as some classics on December 21st, so you do not want to miss that one and tune into the show. I hope you'll join me. I have Kaya, pop sensation, and I'm telling you, she is something that you got to hear to believe. She's only 15 years old. And we've also got country pop artist Annika. Washboard Union are going to be here as well, so it's going to be great to have them back and so many more. Well, that's it for me. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I will check back with you guys very soon. We will see you next week here on Music's Journey. Rearranging all my body goes, and it's changing all my chemistry. Yo!